Welcome back to Behind the Play. My name is Alex Adams, and I am joined by a great friend of the show, the one and only Tic Tac Tomar. And we kind of spoke this into existence earlier this year when we had you on. Ottawa and Toronto would play each other in the playoffs, and I think your reaction was you're just a little bit scared. That might be putting it mildly, but how are you feeling about this series? For the Leafs.
Yeah, I think it's there are because kind of two lanes that I'm taking from it. I think on one hand there is the inner child of me who remembers the Battle of Ontario growing up and how intense those series were. And media outlets are doing a great job of like feeding us that. So we're seeing a whole bunch of like highlight packages of like all the fights, all those clear games. So there's like genuine excitement within me. At the same time, I also feel a lot better about the team going into the playoffs this season than I have in other years. Granted, I have said that every year. So we can talk about that. But yeah, I think there's excitement. I think there is a better confidence in not just the team, but in the team's playing style. And I think one of the main reasons I feel a lot better about it is I remember last year when the Florida Panthers won the cup. Paul Maurice and a lot of like the leadership when they're on the ice like with the cup said like we went into the season having a conversation about like we're gonna be playing this style of hockey all year round to prepare because this style of hockey wins. And when Craig Berube got brought in, like the buy-in and the systems was brought up a lot, mainly from players like Steven Lorenz. Anytime he would have media, he'd always talk about, well, when teams buy in, when they play the right way, you have good results, you have championship results. And there were some, struggling times for the Leafs, I think, in trying to play that system and not rely on the high skill Hail Mary plays and kind of play a little bit more direct and straightforward. And especially, I think, within like the mid season, there was some dips there. But I think once Four Nations ended, I think the team really focused on that level of play. And then we have Brad Treliving who brings in players who kind of complement that system. I think the Brandon Carlo trade has been fantastic. There's another acquisition for a defenseman. In the last 5 years, it's been great. Before it was Jake McCabe, Brandon Carlo, Chris Tanev is Chris Tanev. So you have a structured defense core who plays the right way, and then the forwards are also doing the right things as well. You see Austin Matthews. Yeah, he doesn't have 60 goals or 70 goals or whatever, but like his line and the way that they play is heavy and it's solid. The bottom six, we've been trying to kind of figure out what their identity is, and I think over the last like week or so, we've kind of found like a third 3A, 3B line that again can give you trusted minutes. You can play them in the offensive zone. You can trust them defensively. So I think personally for me, I am more confident and less scared. I'm not going into it thinking it's a guaranteed win though, because the Leafs have not given us any evidence to say that. I think if, and again, I'm saying this as a Leafs fan myself, we cannot walk into this series saying it's a guaranteed win because there have been other series before where we have said that. Montreal, Columbus, one of the Bostons. So one of them, right? So I don't think the team overall has gotten to a point now where we can look at a series and say it's a guaranteed win, but I am liking what I'm seeing ahead of Sunday's game.
Yeah, no, it's interesting you talk about Berube's impact on the team, and like here in Ottawa, it's been, you can say the same with Travis Green, right? Like this, I think I said this to you on one of our episodes, but it was like the Senators were the Leafs of the regular season. Like they should do much better, but they always wilted kind of in the big moments of a regular season and always found ways to lose. And I think the way they play is so conducive to playoff style hockey. Like you look up and down the lineup, and this is what gives me, some, I think I totally understand where the Leafs fans are coming from and media and everything like that, where I think on paper this team should be favored. But I think if I'm on the, covering the Senators all season, like they play playoff style hockey. They're physical, they're mean. You look up and down the lineup, there's Brady Tkachuk, Ridly Gregg, David Perron, Claude Giroux, Nick Cousins. Like all those guys, you're like, okay, what type of hockey style do they thrive in? Regular season or playoff? Like obviously, Greg and Kachuk haven't played in the playoffs, but I'm not
But
too
those
worried.
are players that, like, you look at them, like, you are like Brady Kachuk, like, you are a playoff player. Like, you are, like, yeah, he's great in the regular season, but, like, that's a player that you look at, like, you could win a series, like, with a strong period or whatever.
Exactly. So for me, it's like they're a really good defensive team. And as you know, the Leafs have really struggled to score in the playoffs. And I do think that you're right about, like, for the most part, it feels as though this Leafs team and like fans and everything feel less apprehensive. It's been much more a calm season, even if though Mitch Marner's a free agent at the end of the season. Like, imagine how calm, or even though and there was a trade essentially on the table, and it feels like that's all kind of passed by with a couple little, blips. But for the most part, it's been a quite tame regular season without too much drama, which typically isn't the case. So, but I guess my point being is that at the end of the day, is Mitch Marner going to play like he did in at the Four Nations in those couple games? I think that's, in my opinion, the biggest determining factor, because if the Leafs score, if they can get in behind Ottawa's defense, which I think will be tough, and we'll talk a little bit about that maybe later on. I think if it's a run and gun, like obviously playoffs aren't too run and gun, but if it's a bit more open, I really like the Leafs, especially that top line with Knies, Matthews, and Marner, and obviously the second line with Tavares and Nylander. But I also think the Sens are a really good defensive team, and if it's 2-1, 3-1, that's right up the Senators' alley, and you have Jake Sanderson playing 30 minutes a night, just shutting down the Matthews line. Like, I see a really like a real world possibility where the series goes exactly the way the Senators want. It's 2-1, it's 3-2. The big guys aren't playing well. They get up in the series. So I think that's kind of how the two almost pathways for the series. The Leafs kind of feel comfortable. They finally get over the demons. Omar's very happy. He says we want Florida or Tampa, and then that might come back to haunt him. But or it'll go down the other route where it's really tight checking. The Leafs never really get going, and the Senators pounce. So I really feel like it's close to a pick'em series more than maybe people will think, because like in the playoffs, like anything can happen. So
Yeah,
it's gonna be
I
awesome
think
too. Like, it's
for
gonna be
sure.
bloodbath, as Anthony Stoller said.
For sure. And I think to that point as well, like, the Leafs, like, in this, like, post Four Nations run, I think have really established themselves as a team that is more comfortable playing in those kind of, like, low scoring games, and patience has been brought up. Anytime, like, for example, Anthony Stolarz had, the two shutouts in, I think, in his last, like, three or four starts, and in the post game, patience has been brought up. We stuck to our system, we stuck to our guns, we didn't give the opposition much. And I think what we have seen, definitely the last, like, four years of playoff hockey for the Leafs, is that they try to play in a more structured way, but they can't score. Because, the goalie's going off, or, like, they're not generating as high danger chances as they think they're generating. They say, okay, this isn't working, we have to score a goal. They open things up, make mistakes, and the team score on them immediately. But this year, they've been more confident and comfortable with waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Power play, cool. Okay, no power play. All right, wait, we wait, we wait, we wait. There's a goal, lock it down. We wait, we wait. So I think that's one of the main things, or one of the I think the key aspects that I think could really benefit this team, is that even if you're getting all these chances, you're getting 30, 40 shots, you're outscoring, you're out chancing the opposition, that you don't have to break away from the system and then start going back to your old habits that don't work whatsoever. And I remember watching it slowly against Florida, where, like, Bobrovsky was just stopping everything, and he was trying and trying, and I was slowly watching, like, okay, they're gonna start to loosen up a little bit, and then they do, and then Florida, just opportunistic team, you give them one opportunity, it's in the back of the net. But this year, again, they've been more willing to wait and more willing to trust in the way that they play, and then wait to see if the other team can make a mistake first, and then capitalize on that. Now, I guess the question is that, how do you balance that with still trying to push the ante. You know, if you, yeah, sure, if you're a team that waits for your op, for your opponent to make a mistake, well, what if they never make a mistake? Well, then that means you have to capitalize on the opportunities that you have. So I'm looking at the power play. Power play needs to be better. If you're getting four, if you're getting two opportunities in the play, in the playoffs, which again is a lot considering how things go, you have to hit on at least one of them. If Ottawa is getting a whole bunch of power play opportunities, you gotta stop that power play. Right, so I think the key thing is net front presence. So that's why I'm looking at that blue line, like Chris Tanev, Jake McCabe, Morgan Riley, Brandon Carlo, like Simone Benoit. If he ends up, if he you know keeps his spot in the lineup, like that's going to be key because you have players like Brady Tkachuk who will be all up in Solar's face. You have Ridly Greig who will do that. Claude Giroux will do that. Even Timmy Stützle will do that as well. Like if there's a rebound there, you have to be able to take control and stop those loose bodies. And I guess it's just willing to the idea of can the Leafs do that consistently? And I guess we can talk about it now when it comes down to the pressure aspect because the Leafs need to win. And for Ottawa, it'd be cool. And that is key. And I know that the Leafs are really trying to downplay it. They're like, oh, we want to have the right mentality. This is as far as what we know of the Toronto Maple Leafs right now, this is the last dance. You have UFAs, you have Brendan Shanahan, who is in his last year as president. Like this could be like a wholesale change in perspective, in direction, in whatever. This is it. This is it. They've done everything right in the regular season. Sound familiar? They've done everything right when in terms of their confidence. Sounds familiar. They look good on paper. Sounds familiar. But they just have to get it done. Whereas Ottawa is interesting. They're not exactly how the Leafs were in 2016 when they made the playoffs when no one expected them to, because that was like purely like happenstance. Because again, to your point, like Ottawa is a team who is like who probably could have been made the playoffs the last like I'd say 2 or 3 years, but just things haven't worked out. They have like a bad stretch. Other teams come up, whatever. But like the Sens are playing with house money, man. And my fear, my concern is that they go up, they like the Leafs blow home ice advantage and the Sens go up 2-0, and then we're going into game three, and there's like Ottawa has all the momentum. And people will say, well, okay, well, what's the right? But the Leafs can tie it. Okay, yeah, sure. The Leafs were have done that before. But when familiar scenarios come up, and yeah, the team will say, like, oh, we're focused on this year, we're not focused on the past. It's like, okay, yeah, but like the past is still there, whether you want to focus it or not, like it is still there. There are
The
so
other,
many of you. Yep.
no, sorry. I was just gonna say, like, the other thing, like, being around the Sens this the past 2 years, like, when they play Montreal or Toronto, there's that glimmer in their eye, like,
Yes.
you want to crush them. Like, you can just, it, there's a different feeling that Toronto does not feel that about playing Ottawa at all. And, you know, to put on my, like, sports, like, I'm a psychologist in another. Like, that is impactful, right? Like, just the added motivation, the added, just like, you just to feel that almost, because at the same time, they don't have the pressure, right? It's all gravy, right? You can play free and loose. And there is a part of Sens fans, I will say, that are like, this is our nightmare. We're going to lose to the Leafs, and now the Leafs fans are going to own us. And I think that there will, I think there is a part that where if they, like, you know, lose the first two or three games, they go down, it's kind of a cakewalk, that it will be, there will be almost a pressure or almost like a bit of a stain on this group. And I think there is a possibility for that. So I don't think there's absolutely no pressure, because it is the Leafs in a weird way. If they went down 3-0 to Tampa, it would not be the same. But if
Oh yeah,
they went
that's true.
down 3-0 to Toronto. But I guess my point being is that, one, this team always seems to do well against Toronto. And it is regular seasons and games, and I don't want to take too much of it, but I think just being around the team, as I mentioned, there's that added fuel to play Toronto. Like, if you took, like, I wrote this in one of my recent stories, if you gave them truth serum, the team they wanted to play was Toronto.
Oh yeah. And like if I'm Brady Tkachuk and I'm thinking about it, I'm like, so you're telling me that in the first time the team has made the playoffs in a while, we could knock out the Toronto Maple Leafs and have them lose in the first round again. after winning the Atlantic Division when no one thinks we're going to win? Like, that's like the Montreal Canadiens are having the exact same conversation right now. Like, Martin St. Louis is like, look, no one expected us to. It's that clip. No one believes in you. No one expected you to be here. So what are you prepared to do about it? If like that game one, the hype speech is going to be like insane. They have so many things that can motivate them. But to that point, the Leafs also have things to motivate them as well, you know, and because this can be this will be a I think an era defining series for this team. You know, yes, you're not facing Boston in the first round, or you're not facing Tampa yet, or you're not facing Florida yet. But you know, this could be, you know, we're talking about like this new kind of phase where, you know, Sheldon Keefe is gone. You're bringing Craig Berube, who is again focused on playing the right way, playoff style, heavy hockey, and so on and so forth. Like, this could be a good way to really say that yes, this is a new iteration of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Auston Matthews is the captain, is not John Tavares. Auston Matthews captain teams win playoff series. That was it. This is a really good way to separate. And I think there are so many things that are looking good in the Leafs' favor. But at the same time, you have that little voice in the back of your head. It's like, well, but what if things go wrong? And so I think the Leafs could do a really good job this spring, in really helping to rebuild that trust with the fan base to the point where, because if I'm like a Colorado Avalanche fan, I'm like, yeah, you're fine, sure. The Battle of Florida, like both fan bases are like, no, we got this. Oh, we got this, right? Because they both franchises know what winning is like. Washington had this year out of nowhere, and people are like, no, yeah, we're fine. We have the greatest goal scorer of all time. We're fine. We're good. But for the Leafs fan base, there's still that apprehension, and I think the Leafs can do a really good job in helping to clear that, with how they play in this first round.
And Sens fans might not like this, like my readers, but I do think if they win that series, I think they're destined to make the finals. Like I like them against Tampa, and I think Tampa's gonna win that series. Even though I think Tampa's probably the best team, I think the Leafs actually match up well because they're kind of pretty, like they play a lot of open hockey, right? Like I think it'll be a lot of skill rather than like grit, like Florida where they just like muck it up, right? Which I don't think fits Toronto's game at all. And then I don't like the teams on the other side of the bracket at all.
Like, I guess you're assuming that maybe, I think if Carolina makes it through, like, I think I feel comfortable against Carolina.
And
I've
Washington, I
I
do
feel
not like Washington.
I feel comfortable, but yeah, I think like I'm not doing a playoff bracket because they haunt me. But like that's one series you want to talk about an upset. I would not be surprised if the Habs came out
I
and
picked them in
won.
seven. That was my week where I was just like, I don't even like the Habs that much, but I'm just like, I look at Washington and they're like PDO Warriors. Like they just like every shot goes in, they get every save at like an unreasonably high rate that does not feel sustainable. So, I mean, Washington can easily win that series, but there's always that one. It's in the first round or second round where you're like, what the heck happened?
And they did it once. They
The one thing I'm interested from your vantage point is how important do you think it is in a playoff series to have the best defenseman in the series?
Oh, huge. I
Because
think,
I think this like
yeah.
as good I love Chris Tanev. I'm not trying to diminish him. I think Morgan Rielly, as you know, has not had a good year. And I really like the depth of the Toronto's blue line. But I think Jake Sanderson's by far the best defenseman in the series. Play him 30 minutes a night, which is what I would do if I was Travis Green, at least even to probably winning those minutes. And he's going to be unbelievable at shutting down Matthews, Marner. Like they're still going to get their cookies, but I think if you put him up against him, Slavin, I don't know who else, maybe Hughes at the same time, like he's one of the best defensive defensemen in the league. So if you have him up against Marner Matthews, like that's the perfect matchup. And as good as Tanev is, as good as, Rielly at times, like I just feel if the Sens, like that's a bit of something like I'm gonna be curious about is like does depth win or does having the best defenseman in the series win over?
Yeah, and I think to that's where I think the chess match might kind of come into play, right? Because I think, both the decors have kind of like their areas of, okay, there might be some issues. So for example, if I'm looking, I don't know what the bottom pair looks like right now. Like, Berube said that we should expect McCabe and Oliver Ekman-Larsson to come back. So maybe you have a bottom pair of Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Simon Benoit. But, throughout many instances throughout the season, when either have been on their offside, it's kind of been a little awkward, right? So when it comes down to Jake Sanderson, okay, so if I'm Craig Berube, okay, well, I have to manage the man to the bench and ensure that I kind of get a more favorable matchup. And if I can't, then that's where the depth is going to come to play, like those third and fourth lines. But I think defense is always key. And again, especially in a series like this, where I think the front of either net is going to be pretty crowded. And you have to be able to have defensemen who are willing to physically move bodies, right? I think from the offensive aspect, that could be another thing as well. The Leafs do not have any offensive threats from the blue line, like consistently. Brandon Carlo, I think Brandon Carlo can, get shots on net, and he's had some opportunities of setting up people up for deflections. Morgan Rielly, I think, again has his moments here or there, but he, I think, offensively isn't necessarily a point offensive threat. He's more of a, activate off the rush or be a fourth option. But the Sens and Jake Sanderson, you have a person who can rip and generate from the point. So that's why I think special teams will be key. I think you have to be able, the forwards have to be comfortable attacking the point. But at the same time, if you attack the point, then you have to have coverage back because then you're leaving the wings open. So like I wouldn't be surprised if the penalty kill is an area that's getting a lot of work and a lot of focus. Because offensively, I think players like Jake Sanderson can do a lot of damage there. But I don't know if you're focused on limiting chances as opposed to getting them, then that could be a different story.
You talked about like net front. I'm curious, like what do you think about this Leafs team specifically? Like how are they better at scoring those kind of greasy goals in this playoff series that maybe they've, fallen by the wayside in the past where they really have struggled to do so?
Yeah, the Leafs have always been the highlight reelers. So they've always gone for like the, hey, this is gonna look pretty. And try to make these like really cool, like behind the back spinorama passes. But this season specifically, they've been more comfortable with just throwing the thing on net and then seeing what happens, and really trying to capitalize on those second and third chances. John Tavares has done his best at being the invisible man, where everyone focuses on him. The puck trickles out, and it's like, oh hey, pff, goal. Matthew Nyes has really taken a huge step in his net front, like whether it's deflections, whether it's battles, whether it's like out muscling people who are trying to cover him and just wrapping pucks around goalies' pads,
Dog.
has been great. Has been great in that regard. And then again, like Marner specifically has been more comfortable just shooting the thing. And that has been, I think, one of the sometimes a really big frustrating aspect with the power play is that they'll pass off an opportunity to shoot just to make another pass and try to beat players with speed and then get open ice. But now they're just shooting the thing. And again, I think the focus on those like that, I guess below the hash marks play where you're just fighting for space and fighting for the puck and then trying to get to it before the opposition does, I think has been key. And those playoff style goals has not been a new conversation. And again, that's why I feel for Sheldon, because it's like all the things that the Leafs are doing now is what he's been talking about for the longest time. We don't score enough playoff goals. We allow our opponent to get back into the game. And I guess, I don't know, maybe like Berube is saying the same thing, but like maybe the message is hitting differently. But those aspects and those things have been working for the Leafs. Even yesterday, yes, it's a nothing game and a game that does not matter against Detroit, who is like eliminated from the playoffs for the longest time. But they tied the game by again just play having more offense down low and then capitalizing on chaos. I think that's the best way to go about it. So I think the Sens obviously can excel in that area, but the Leafs have definitely done a good job, especially with this five forward power play. Like, you have to capitalize on that, on those second and third opportunities. So I'm feeling better about how they can score in the playoffs for sure.
And what's interesting is like both these PKs have not been that good this year. Like Ottawa's, trust me, you'll see it does not work. Like that's been something I've harped on a lot is why do they have a, sorry, not we, why do they have a diamond formation? Like it's been better of late. Their PK has actually been pretty hot, but to the eye test, and I looked at some of the numbers, they're just getting saved. They're just getting saved. So the other interesting thing is the Sens lead the league in penalties drawn. So I like in the playoffs, does that translate? Probably not too much, but if Ottawa is consistently getting power plays more so than the Leafs, that could be something. Tim Stützle is really good at that. For all the diving discussion, I think it's probably not warranted. I think he's just really dynamic and guys just have put sticks in the wrong place. But I think you're right about the kind of special teams aspect, like especially at the beginning of the series when refs actually want to make calls. That could really be a big terminator. But the other thing I think from the Sens vantage point, like if I'm a Leafs fan or, they've struggled to score at 5-on-5 and they've been better with Cousins and Zetterlund. But that has been something that they still struggle at. Creating chances. Tim Stützle does not shoot the puck enough. He kind of has that Marneritis a little bit where he gets into great positions and instead of shooting and just making the more direct play, he tries to off shoot and make a bet like a fancier pass or a highlight reeler. But at the same time, what I think is going to be interesting is like the Cousins, like Dylan Cousins had a great start in Ottawa. Not so good couple games, and now he's kind of come into the playoffs, playing pretty well. I think he's going to be a really big factor. If he plays really well, I think Ottawa has three, even four lines that are really good, that don't maybe have the same high-end skill as the Leafs, but I think, like you've talked about the third and fourth line, I think Ottawa's is much better. Is that a big determining factor? Maybe not, but if that gets you, if you outscore the third and fourth line, if in the matchups against each other in the series, if you outscore them 4-2, that could be the difference.
Yeah, no, that's huge. And that's been an issue. That's been a thing the Leafs have been looking for the longest time, where usually if for the offense, it's like, okay, well, hey, okay, core four, okay, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, who's going tonight? And for the most part, it's been Nylander. So I'm looking in the bottom six. I'm looking, okay, so we're talking about who is even going to make the team, right? Because there are a lot of injuries and a lot of decisions who need to be made, right? Nick Robertson is a player who I would like to see play game one, because again, he can score and he's also showed that he can play a little bit heavier. Yes, the defense is kind of here or there, but that can be a difference maker. Max Domi can make plays, right? Can make really, really great plays. Right. So does he stay on the second line, or does Bobby McMahon stay there? Bobby McMahon, I think,
He's a good one.
can and will be a huge difference maker, just because, again, of that speed, that up and down north south speed that he has, and he has a really great shot. But the unfortunate thing for him this year is that he's had like really long stretches where he's just been kind of invisible. Where like he's not even getting any shots on goal, or limited shot attempts. So that can be a difference. A lot of Leafs fans are up and down on Pontus Holmberg, but he's been fantastic this last like week. And I think when it comes down to what you want as a centerman in a bottom six role, like that could be key. And then there's Captain Passion Steven Lorenz. Now, Captain Passion Steven Lorenz, I want to say, has 5 game-winning goals. That I think will be key. Not how many times you're scoring, but when those goals come up. And then I think from him, you can also look at Scott Laughton, who hasn't had the best start since being acquired, but again, I think has started to kind of build some chemistry with Steven Lorenz, and it has looked a lot better at center. But again, and I think is looking forward to the opportunity to play playoff hockey. And again, I think it's fitting that the first playoff hockey he has in a while is on his childhood team in the Battle of Ontario. So I think there are a lot of names in that bottom six who can help, Now, whether they will is a different story. I'm thinking I would not be surprised to see Max Pacioretty drawn to the lineup, and he hasn't been on the roster for a while. But Max Pacioretty is a player who can score, but I guess in his time now as a player is kind of more, I guess, more conducive to kind of like that bottom six role, but can hit and is heavy, and Craig Berube likes that. So again, I think there are a lot of names who can possibly do that. I think I'm mostly looking at like a Steven Lorenz and a Nick Robertson to see if that it can be done. But it again is the if, because if you have those games where Travis Green is really playing the lines very well, they'll say Jake Sanderson, the rest of the team, they're really doing a good job in locking down like the skill elite players, then it will come down to them to really finish on those opportunities and also to show up. And we can't have instances where you don't notice Bobby McMahon, or you don't notice Cale Yarncroke, or Nick Robertson is kind of being very loose with the puck. Like, everyone kind of needs to be dialed in and focus on that aspect, because they show that when they are, that at the very least they spend a lot of time in the offensive zone, which again is a lot better than spending time defending and trying to stop rushes and stuff.
No, it's interesting. Like, I think the tactical adjustments you'll see, or at least you'll see, like, almost the battle of between Green and Berube is, I like Travis Green the entire year. His shutdown, his line is the Pinto Amadio Greg line. And if you look at the games they played together in the regular season, that line has basically primarily always gone against Matthews and Marner. They've had their chances, and like you could argue that Matthews and Marner have been a bit snake bitten, but they're also a really, really good defensive unit. Like, Michael Amadio is such a good player. If you watch, like, such a good
He's
defensive player.
I'm still so bitter that we lost him to Vegas. I'm still so I'm still
Well, he
so
was in
bitter.
Ottawa before too, so it's like
Yeah, I'm
this
so bitter.
the but I think, as you mentioned, like, if the Sens can get home ice and you get to match that line up against them, my only worry is that they don't create enough offensively, right, against that. Like, it's like, as you said, the best defense is offense sometimes, and just being in the offensive zone. But so I wouldn't be surprised if you see that line playing more than maybe the Cousins lines in some of these games at 5-on-5, just because of the matchup. The other thing is, like, Shabbat and Jensen have not been that good in the last 3 to 4 months since the new year. Jensen's been banged up. He's played the past couple games in and out of the lineup, but I think that pairing is pretty good at getting the puck out of their own zone. The problem is, it's when it's in their own zone. And Shabbat is as good as he's been this year. He's still a defensive liability, and still doesn't really have, like, the greatest, like, hockey IQ in his own end, as, lovable a guy as he is. So I think, like, for me, it's almost like you're gonna get Sanderson, Zub up against Marner and Matthews and Knies as much. Same with that Pinto line. And it's like, I like, as you know, I think the most clutch guy on this Leafs team is Willie Nylander, right? And if he just completely tears apart Shabbat Jensen and the third pairing, which is really a problem. I asked Travis Green yesterday, last night, I'm like, how comfortable are you with Cleven and Matt Napalo as your third pairing against Toronto? He's like, I didn't say that. I'm like, I didn't say that. I was like, okay, well, I guess. And they just laughed at me. So that's how it is sometimes. But that's been kind of the one problem, I think, with this roster construction, is that third pairing is still vulnerable. There are whispers of Travis Hamonic playing game one, which should make Leafs fans become overjoyed. The man is
Really?
second worst in WAR in the entire league. I will never, I will, good guy, great locker room guy. I just want to preface this. I have nothing against Travis Hamonic as a person. And I never blame a player for wanting to play in the NHL. He just had his 900th game last night. Good for him. But he is not good enough to play in the playoffs. I'm sorry. And even Nicholas Manpalo, like, he's fine, but as I just said the guy's name, did anyone know him 2.5 months ago, right? So I think that's the biggest area of concern for the Sens, is that bottom pairing. And even just if Shabbat and Jensen can kind of, because the first 3 or 4 months that pairing was elite when Jensen was healthy. So it's like, which pairing are you getting? But I think if you're the Leafs, like that's where I just worry a little bit about. At the same time, I don't think OEL and Benoit have been very good together either, for the
Yeah.
Leafs. So we'll see. But I think that's going to be the tactical matchup. Like if you think about like the margins of error, right, for each team, like I think that's where the Leafs supersede the Sens, where it's like, yeah, every pairing is pretty good on the back end. None of them should be really exposed. You have, your top two lines that should, in theory, be better than Ottawa's top two. So they're going to expose the second and third pairing, right? So I think
Yeah.
that's an interesting matchup to see. But at the same time, like Shabon and Jensen have played really well together. And if I was Travis Green, I play Sanderson and Zub like 30 minutes. You play Shabon and Jensen like 15. And then the third pairing is playing like 8 minutes a night, like always against the fourth, maybe third line. That's what I would do. And the interesting thing is you this season, Green always starts the bottom pair in the offensive zone with the top line with Timmy. So that kind of says something about how he feels about that pair. Anyways, that's my preamble. Yeah.
That would be interesting.
I guess like if the Leafs win this series, what needs to go right for them? What needs to happen?
So I think goaltending needs to keep up, because the Leafs have gotten fantastic goaltending from both goalies. Obviously, I think Stolarz does have the edge over Wall. There's just more calmness, I think, and not to say that Wall is frantic or anything, but there's just like this I got it attitude from Stolarz. And just anytime he's in the net, he gives the team an opportunity to win every single game. So I think that needs to hold up. I think the special teams need to be a difference maker, especially if both teams have kind of locked things down 5-on-5. The if Ottawa is taking penalties, you gotta make them pay on at least one of them. So I think that needs to take place. At the same time, I also do think that the team really needs to stay within the moment and trust how they got here. That I think will be the huge difference, not just in this series if they end up winning, but also throughout the rest of the playoffs, is just trust the process. That's a line from the old regime, but they do really need to trust how they played, because it has not only gotten them into like the playoffs for the ninth consecutive season, but it's also been the main reasons as to why they're at the top of the division. The focus, the simplicity, the directness, the heaviness, the forecheck, the fight, the pushback, the patience. The patience has been key. And I think if they stick to those things, they will have a really, really good chance in winning this series. I truly believe that. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, and I don't think it's going to be easy like whatsoever. I think if I think it's not necessarily fair to say like, oh, it's going to be a sweep. I don't think that's fair at all.
No.
I don't think Ottawa has it in them to just put their hands up and say, ah, well, we tried. Better luck next year. But I do think the Leafs should be proud of how they got to this point, and I think should make sure that they don't forget that and stick to the things that have worked.
I'm curious, we haven't talked about goaltending. I feel like we should have like at least a one little bit of discussion.
Oh yeah.
But
Oh yeah.
like to me, I do think it's a wash. I think this year, obviously, Stolarz has been better. Allmark's been really weird. Like, just be watching every game this season, he's either like Connor Hellebuck or he is like Jonas Korpisalo. Like,
And Alex, and right there, that's what concerns me, is that he has the switch. There are moments where it's just like, oh, okay, he's whatever. And there are moments where he'll just make the nastiest save, like, out of nowhere.
And that's the thing is like, in a sense, like you just need him to be Connor Hellebuck four times, right? You just need him to be, he can have one or two duds, honestly. Obviously, the fewer the better, but like that's the thing that gives me hope. And Stolarz, I mean, he's been really good. I'd like him as a goaltender a lot. I think I'm not too worried about him. I don't think Leafs fans should be, but he's never played in a playoffs series. He has also kind of like Ullmark too, like their bodies have broken down in the playoffs before. Or like has broken down, Ullmark has in the playoffs, Stolarz just in general, like this season he got hurt. Ullmark's been hurt. So there's a bit of like I could see it going in a multitude of different ways where by game three we're like, how did we think Ullmark would be good, right? Or
I
in game
think
three we're like, Stolarz is like, man, he just we kind of needed he needed some experience. So it's this weird conundrum. I feel it's really hard to have a real good sense of the goaltending matchup.
I think what the thing I like about Solars is I think there's a bit of him that has something that he'd like to prove. Not to say that he is not confident in himself or is doubtful of his abilities, but he spent a lot of time watching last year. When on Florida, it was Bobrovsky's net, and rightly so. Bobrovsky was sick. And I think Stoller signed in Toronto with that opportunity of, hey, I can be the guy. I'd say right now he's accomplished a huge milestone of at very least being the starter for the playoffs. I think that's probably a goal that he had for himself going into the season. And I think as you go on, it's okay. Now, can I continue to be that guy for this team as the playoffs continue? The Leafs have had several struggles with goaltending. Even when we did have a number one, our number one would always make mistakes at key moments. Bless Frederik Andersen. But man, once game seven, six and seven hit, there would just be like one bad oopsie daisy. I should have had that goal. Ilya Samsonov last year. Again,
Game seven.
Right.
What
So,
was that?
Wall gets in, and then he gets hurt, right? So I think just like how the rest of the team can really instill confidence in the fan base, I think Stolarz can also kind of instill confidence within himself that he doesn't have to be just a tandem guy. He doesn't have to be a 1A or 1B. Like they this could be my net, and I can help this team do something that they haven't been able to do in the longest time. I'm not talking about winning a cup. That'd be cool, but
That
let's
would be
walk
cool.
before we can run. But the idea of just being part of a deep run as the Toronto Maple Leafs starting goaltender. And I think that is something that like individually that really drives Stolarz, not just as a goalie, but as a hockey player in a general sense.
Yeah, and I think if the Sens win the series, you're gonna see some, or like start winning in the series, you're gonna see some crazy quotes from Linus Ullmark. Just be prepared, like just. The guy is a very smart and very quotable man, and a very interesting guy. But just being around him, but I think you're right about Stolarz. Like I do believe in him as a goaltender, and I think again, I just the less scoring there is. Like if both of them are playing well, like if Ullmark's playing well, Stolarz is playing well. I just think that. That kind of Deserveometer meter to win the series, or like the probabilities, like it just keeps tilting to Ottawa, right? And I think the longer the series is, the better chance it is for Ottawa, right? Like, and or if Ottawa gets like a lead, like just whenever the pressure's on Toronto, then you're gonna really see like is this team gonna overcome its, and wilt, right? And
And to that point, the Terp Wayne Simmonds, back in the 2020 season, where the last time the Leafs won a division, I'm putting that in air quotes. I personally don't count that. I don't like to think about that season for obvious reasons. But killer instinct has been something that's been brought up a lot, right? The Leafs lacked killer instinct against Montreal. They're up 3-1. They just they had them, and they slowly let them come back. And as the season's gone on, there are a lot of pockets and a lot of individual games where you would see that they would go up. I want to say there was a game against the Sens, like not like I want to say maybe last season, where I think it was like,
Yeah, they went up 2-0, I think.
yeah, some
It
and
was
then
around Christmas, yeah.
just put their hands up. Okay, cool, we're done, right? So there can be so many, like, for the longest time, the team always talks about like lessons. Like John Tavares does this a lot. Oh, it's a good lesson. It's a good lesson. It's a good lesson. We can learn from this. We can learn from this. Okay. Well, you have a team who you on paper should beat. On paper, you are better than. So if there's a point where you have a lead or you have the edge on them, will you do the same thing you always do and take your foot off the gas and allow them to come back? Or will you actually start to embody and activate that killer instinct and do what needs to be done? I hope they can do that. Because I think, to your point, Alex, if the Sens are on their last legs and you give them any aspect of hope that they can latch onto, they'll come back roaring.
Yeah.
Now, can you stop that? Or better yet, can you stop them from that even being an opportunity? Can you take them out of the fight before they even know, before they even heard the bell being rung?
Yeah.
So that's something I'm also looking forward to as well, as far as like what era of Toronto Maple Leafs are we in? Are we in the same era where, everything goes wrong, or are they in the new era where they have actually learned and graduated from these lessons that they have apparently been getting for the last 9 years?
The thing, and I'm not trying to traumatize you here, Omar,
No,
but
it's okay.
the one thing I see like a pathway for the series is like that Florida series years ago. Like I where it's just like it's not that Florida was actually a better team than Toronto in that series, but they just kind of knew how to win and it became a snowball effect. And I think this Senators team is really good defensively. Like you'll see, like Toronto's not gonna get too many just like grade A chance after grade A chance. Like there'll be a couple flurries here and there, but it's going to be quite tight checking, I think. And they won't have a lot of chances. So you go down 1-0, then you go down 2-0, and the whole world is like Marner's leaving. And this here we go again, right? And I think if the rules reverse, like if the Sens go down 2-0, lose the first two games, obviously Sens land will be really upset and people will be, but I don't think it'll have that same effect where like here we go again. Here's the, like, it'll just be like, okay, great, game three at home, first time in 8 years. Let's go. Like, we ride, right? And so I think, as I said earlier on in the show, is like, when you have no pressure, that is such a huge thing, right? And you have no demons either, right? And they do have a lot of guys who have played in the playoffs, like David Perron, Claude Giroux, Nick Jensen, but Michael Matteos won a cup, Nick Cousins, right? Like, obviously, the core hasn't. And I asked Travis Green that yesterday. I was like, how important do you think it is? He's like, it's important, but I'm not worried about our team and what's he going to say. But I do think there is something to it where it's like you have the insular pieces that have won cups and know how to do it. And I just, for me, I know like you look at the analytics, they're not that much better than the Sens. And Dylan Cousins has come in, Fabian Zetterlund. Like, I think this team is much better like now than it was for the majority of the season, which I think people don't take into account. I think that's the same for the Leafs. Like Brandon Carlo, I think is a really good defenseman. Scott Laughton, I still don't really love that, but he's a good fourth liner. I just the trade itself is a lot. But but my point being is that I think this team's much better than it was to begin the season. And so people are like, oh, like look at their record. It's like, well, since the new year, they have the 10th best record in the league. Like they're one of the better teams in the league. You're not playing Montreal. Well, Montreal's been good too, but just like a team that's probably kind of got there with a bit of luck. Like I legitimately think this team is one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. I think, weirdly enough, I think all the Atlantic teams are probably better than any of the metropolitan teams
It has been that way for a
for a while.
while.
So I guess to end my point is that I don't see the discrepancy between both sides as being as big as I think some are. I still think Toronto is the better team and has more talent, but I think Ottawa has better forward depth. They have the best defensemen, and they're really conducive to playoff style hockey with just like guys that muck it up, right? And on Toronto's side, I think they have a couple of those guys, especially at the back end, but their stars are still not really like that. And so, The Leafs are really good at playing regular season hockey. In the playoffs, I don't know if it's as transferable as it is for the Sens, who I think are built more for playoff hockey than they are for regular season hockey. So that's why for me, I think if I had to like be completely objective, I think the Leafs have like a 60, 65% chance, or like that's how much better they are, or however you want to quantify it. I don't think it's like Leafs in four. Like, I don't think it's that. And in the playoffs, as you know, if the teams, if there's only a couple margins between the teams, small sample size, right? So I think it's going to be a long series, and I think it's going to be just crazy. No matter what, there's going to be a ton of crazy stuff that we're going to remember for years from this series.
Definitely. It's gonna be again, I think it's a defining series for the Leafs, especially. I think it's probably both teams, but definitely for the Leafs. Again, to really just show and prove that they are different and that they understand the assignment and what to do. And again, I'm looking forward to just seeing a lot of players taking a next step and I guess willing to do what it takes to win. And that may not always mean, actually scoring a goal. Maybe that might mean, putting, taking a puck in an uncomfortable spot, or emptying the can and holding a puck into a zone. All that uncomfortable stuff. If things go wrong, the next lineup, what are you gonna do from that aspect? And again, I really like what I have seen from this group. I just really, really hope, though I am confident that they put it all together in this series. So I'm not with where most Leafs fans are, where they're saying, oh, it's gonna be easy, it's gonna be a slew, or like Leafs in three. But I do think that the Leafs will take this one. And if I had to put a number, I'll say Leafs in six. I don't think
If you
it'll,
said,
but now the Yeah.
let me just say, if it goes to seven,
Oh.
you know who's winning. It's
Oh. If it goes to seven, okay. So for me, for the last couple of years, game sevens have
fun.
broken me, where it's just like if and especially, again, I guess it depends on how it happens, right? So if it's at like the Sens had the lead and the Leafs win game six to face game seven, okay, I'll feel a little bit better about it. But if the Leafs were up like 3-2 and had an opportunity to end it, and they didn't, and then it goes to game seven, then it's like, okay, all right, okay. So what are we doing here? Why is this happening? Right? This happened before. It happened 2019. They were up 3-2 against Boston. Could have won at home, and they didn't. Game seven, lost. I think they lost 5-1. Yeah, they did lose 5-1. Good times. But that being said, I am, and this might cost me. This might cost me, and who knows? This might be a weird hockey gods thing where that prediction that I had, earlier in the year, comes to fruition. But I like the way the Leafs look. I like the way that they play. I love how Anthony Stolarz looks. I like how the blue line looks. I like how the skill players have added another aspect to their game. I like that John Tavares is finding a lot more opportunities, a lot more open ice to score. I like how Pontus Holmberg has really flipped the script, and I think has started to, change his perception of himself, amongst the fan base, and people are actually starting to like what he brings. I love the passion that Steven Lorenz brings. He's again, he understands the assignment. I love what Bobby McMahon can do when Bobby McMahon is doing Bobby McMahon things. I love what the possibility of what a Max Pacioretty can bring if he gets back into the lineup. I'm also interested to see what David Camp can do if he gets back into the lineup as well, because David Camp has an uncanny ability to kind of go off a little bit and have some interesting moments. I will never forget that breakaway goal against Andrei Vasilevskiy that came out of nowhere. I will never forget that. So there are a lot of things about this Leafs team that I'm looking forward to, but I think it's going to be a hell of a series. And I think if the Leafs did not have their past and their demons, I think this could be a series where you go into and regardless of the outcome, you'd say, you know what? Well, that was You didn't get the result, but it was a well-fought series. Obviously, the Leafs have lost that luxury of getting that moral victory. But I'm really looking forward to the level of hockey that Ontario is going to get. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, and I just want to give you some hope before I let you go. Because I do think that if Toronto can slay the demon or the dragon, I really think, like as you said, like everything tells me that this team should make the finals. Like just the way it's constructed, I don't think Florida's going to beat Tampa. I think that's a good matchup. And it's one of those things where it's like I still remember as a Jets fan, St. Louis beating Winnipeg, and that might have been like one of the like crazy hockey. And you're like, yeah, like I feel like whoever wins this is going to go deep, right? And same with Tampa Bay and the Leafs in 2022, right? Like then Tampa made the finals. I feel not that I don't think the Sens are going to make the playoffs. That's the finals. That's not what I'm trying to say. My point is more like it's almost like one of those is if they can get over this hurdle. I really feel like they're on a pathway to finally, doing some real damage in the playoffs, and I think in a sense beating Ottawa with all the demons, with all the rivalry, with all the pressure, puts you in such a good like to almost like oh we've done it, right? So and I still don't think it's gonna happen, but I hope it does for you, and I think it's gonna be as you said amazing hockey. So. You have Leafs in six. I have Sens in six. I probably should have said Sens in seven, but I put that for Sportsnet. So I just felt like I feel like if I feel Ottawa's going to win that first game, and then it's going to be a snowball. But I can be wrong. I can be wrong. So we'll see. Anyways, thank you so much, Omar, for taking the time. Is there anything you want to plug before I let you go? Do you have any gifs or gifts like way ready for game one?
I don't know. I think I'll be do my thing throughout the playoffs, getting the moments for I guess for both fan bases in this regard. So I'm looking forward to it. Still, we'll still probably be doing report cards for the Athletic. But yeah, just tune in, cheer. Leafs fans have passion. Hopefully, I am confident that things will be different. And if not, then it's gonna be a long, long summer.
And Mitch Marner, where are you go? San Jose, Chicago. Can I just say for being a gift master, zoom in on Travis Green. He's like a low key, one of the best. I'll send you a text of one of the pictures. He's really good. So just be ready for it. His
I'll be on the
reactions
eye
are
for it.
great.
Yeah, for
I
sure.
think Berube is just like.
He's so stoic. Like he used to have some moments like in the first half of the season where he would like go off on refs, but now he just has like a stone like a stone cold face. I don't know, maybe the playoffs will change things, but
We'll see. We'll see. Well, thanks so much for doing this. This was a blast, and
course.
I'm excited for the series. I can't believe it's finally happening. It's finally happening. Well,
Definitely.
thank you so much, Omar. I really appreciate it.
For sure.